بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد We begin this evening seeking the aid and the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, musta'inina bihi wahdah, musta'inina bihi wahdahu subhanahu wa ta'ala, reading in a new treatise or a new book. We will begin this evening by the great Imam, al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala, a very famous work, a very famous and beneficial treatise entitled Thalathatu Usul wa Adillatuha. ثَلَاثَةُ أُصُولٍ وَأَدِلَّتُهَا The three principles and their evidences. The three principles and their evidences. Very famous work by the great scholar, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah ta'ala. The three fundamental principles and their evidences. وَأَدِلَّتُهَا And their evidences and their proofs. The author, he has many works, and the majority of his works are with regards to the clarification of the correct creed and the correct belief, the proper aqidah, aqidah to tawheed, and the obligation of following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam with the understanding of the pious predecessors, radiallahu anhum jami'an. And the author, he has another work, sometimes could be confused with this work, entitled Al-Usul al-Thalatha. Or sometimes a person may refer to the book we are studying now as Al-Usul al-Thalatha. And other times we see it referred to as Thalathatu al-Usul. Or Thalathatu Usulin. And Sheikh Salih, Ali Sheikh, Hafidhullah Ta'ala, he mentioned that there's a difference between these two texts. Al-Usul al-Thalatha and Thalathatu al-Usul. الأصول الثلاثة وثلاثة الأصول وثلاثة الأصول وأدلتها وثلاثة الأصول وأدلتها The one that we are studying is ثلاثة الأصول وأدلتها بإذن الله تعالى And this is a more complete text And it contains in reality four actual treaties Or four different topics and subjects, two or three of them, excuse me, before actually entering into Al-Usul al-Thalatha. Al-Usul al-Thalatha. As for the text that is entitled Al-Usul al-Thalatha, it is a smaller text that only consists of the questions in the grave. And that which is related to them. As for this text here, then it consists of three introductions before getting to those questions and those three affairs. We see that the author, he has began this work that we are reading with the statement after the Basmala, I'lam, rahimakullah. If we read another page or two, we'll find again he starts with another statement, I'lam, rahimakullah. And then just a brief, after that, maybe one or two pages, again we see he says now, I'lam arshadakallahu li ta'atihi. These are three different treatises, three different rasail. The first one is related to knowledge and the obligation of learning and applying the knowledge and calling to it and being steadfast upon that. And the second treatise or the introduction is with regards to the clarification of At-Tawheed Binaw'ayhi. The clarification of At-Tawheed Binaw'ayhi. Both types of At-Tawheed, Al-Ilmi Wal-Amali. And then also likewise the obligation of Al-Wala Wal-Bara'. With regards to that, at-tawheed. And then the third introduction, the author, he mentions, rahimahullah ta'ala, with regards to the clarification of millat Ibrahim al-Hanifiyyah, the way of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. And then we find after that, he begins, rahimahullah ta'ala, with the al-usul al-thalatha, al-usul al-thalatha, idha qila laka man rabbuk, This is where the Usul al-Thalatha will begin. And so this is the text that we are studying here. It's a bit more detailed than the actual Al-Usul al-Thalatha. This was, as the ulama have mentioned, the Al-Usul al-Thalatha was authored for children or for a younger age to study and to memorize. In any case, Al-Usul al-Thalatha or Thalathatul Usul, these texts here, they have been spread far and wide from the time of the author. Rahim Allah Ta'ala, the ulama have given great concern with them, with these texts, with authenticating the text and the wording of the text, and likewise its description to the author, rahimahullah ta'ala. And likewise, they have shown great concern for this text with regards to explaining it and clarifying its meanings. There are many explanations for this particular text, thalathat usul, wadillatuha, many explanations that have been printed, and you can find them in book form, and there are likewise many other explanations that are available in audio form. The ulama, they have given great concern for this text. Even the likes of Shaykh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala, he has mentioned about this, that the imams in the masajid before in al-Mamlaka al-Arabiya al-Saudiya, they used to teach the people this text in the masjid like they would teach them the Fatiha, or like they would teach them the Juz Amma, or like they would learn the Quran. They would memorize this. That they would memorize this when they are young, and they would keep it with them until they're old. They would memorize this whenever they are young. Even many of them, they would call this al-Usul al-Thalatha. They would call it this text ad-Din, and they would say, for example, Sami'na ad-Din. Let us hear the Deen. Recite to us the Deen. Because of its conciseness and what it contains from the summarization of the deen of al-Islam. The point here is that it's very important to follow that way, and that we should memorize this text if we can. And we should encourage our children to memorize this text, especially if a person he is endeavoring and hopes to be upon the path of seeking knowledge, and wants to be diligent on the path of seeking knowledge. One of the first texts he should begin with is like the likes of this text, to memorize it. Also, it's beneficial for the students who are learning Arabic. They're on their way. He's a student of Arabic likewise. Memorizing these texts like this and gaining an understanding from the vocabulary, and likewise the way that the sentences are structured, so on and so forth, is very beneficial. And we find that this text here is very easy to understand, and the author, he has made it very easy and accessible for the student of knowledge, the beginner. And likewise, it's even beneficial for the one who has been studying for some time, that these are usul that will be with a believer, whether he is a new student or whether he is a great scholar. These are usul, and the rest of the deen, they return back to these fundamentals. So one of the great gifts and the great ihsan that a parent could do for their child, and one of the best gift that a parent could give to their child, is to teach them these usul, al-usul al-thalatha, while they are young, and to bit-talqeen, to make them memorize it. You say to them about talqeen, for example, repeat after me, like this, repeat after me, ya'lam rahimakallah, ya'lam rahimakallah, repeat after me until they memorize it. And they memorize it, and they learn it, and they understand it, and they know it. Man rabbuk. If it's a boy, man rabbuka. If it's a man rabbuki. Rabbi Allah, my Lord is Allah. They know this. Teach them this. This is the best, one of the greatest gifts that you could give to your child. And like this, we see that the Salaf, they used to give gifts to each other. But the way that they would give gifts, they had a tahadi, a tahadon, al-hadaya. They used to give gifts to each other. Whenever we think about giving gifts, what do you think about? If somebody came to you right now and said, for example, I have a gift for you, should I give you a gift? What do you think? He's going to give you some money. He's going to give you something valuable. He's going to give you something that you can grab onto and hold onto it, and something you can benefit from in the dunya. That's what comes to mind. There's a narration in Sahih Bukhari that Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Layla, he came to the companion Ka'b ibn Ujra, radiyallahu anhu. And he said to him, Ala uhdiyaka hadiyya? Ala uhdiyya laka hadiyya? He said, should I not give you a gift? Or would you like if I give you a gift? If you came to your friend or your companion, or somebody that even maybe you look up to them, for example, and he's like, should I give you a gift? What do you think if I give you a gift? But yeah, maybe he's going to give some money. Maybe he's going to give a book. Maybe he's going to give any, who knows what, is some food. Maybe whatever the case, this is what the mind goes to. But the hadiyah that Ka'b ibn Ujra radiallahu anhu, he gave Ibn Abi Layla rahimahullah, he gave him the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught them how to make salat on him. Taught them how to make salat on him. They know how to make salam. How do you make salat? Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. He taught him this hadith. This is the hadiyah that he gave. And this is the gift. The ulama and the students of knowledge of the salaf, they used to give each other gifts. And one of the best gifts you can give your brother is a beneficial, some beneficial knowledge, a benefit. And you'll find that the students of knowledge giving each other gifts. And it's easy to do in these days with WhatsApp. You can find some beneficial statement from Allah Azza wa Jalla in his book with an explanation from a famous scholar who's reliable. Or hadith likewise, or a benefit from the salaf and the like, something like this, and send it to your brother as a gift. I'm going to give him a gift for the sake of Allah. If your brother benefits you in your deen, then this is a great blessing and a favor from him. You say, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. So the salaf, they used to give gifts. One of the best gifts we can give our children, or ourselves even before that, because you can't give something if you don't have it. If you don't have it, صح? فَاقِدُ شَيْءٍ لَا يُعْطِيهِ. The one who doesn't have something, he can't give it. But one of the best gifts one can obtain himself and then give to his family. الأصول الثلاثة. الأصول الثلاثة. من ربك؟ يعني بأدلتها. ربي الله. My Lord is Allah. And the proof. And the proof for that from the Quran. The understanding and relating all of this back to the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. Relating it back to the authentic text from the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is a great, great gift. So I encourage myself and my family and you and your families to be diligent in learning this text and to try to memorize this text and then to live by this text. And although there are introductions that kind of come up to the text, the actual point for this study here and this work here, ثَلَاثَةُ أُصُولِ is الْأُصُولَ ثَلَاثَةَ. So we find that these three introductions, they're leading up to the main point of the book and the main issue, which is الْأُصُولَ الثَّلَاثَةَ. Al-usul al-thalatha. And the religion of Islam is based upon these three principles. Rather, that is the deen. And this is what every person will be held accountable for and asked about in their grave. The believer will be asked about these three principles. And in reality, nobody's deen will be upright and straight, and he will not be steadfast upon the straight path of Allah Azza wa Jalla except by establishing these three fundamental principles. And the sweetness of iman and the sweetness of sincere faith will not enter the heart until one, he fulfills the rites of these three principles. Of these three principles. These principles, al-usul al-thalatha. Man rabbuk, yani ma'rifatullahi wa ma'rifatu nabiyhi wa ma'rifatu din al-islami bil-adilla. To know Allah Azza wa Jalla and to know His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to know the religion of al-Islam with evidence. Yani to know all of that with evidence. To know Allah. Who is your Lord? To know that with evidence. To know the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with evidence. To know the religion of al-Islam with evidence. And if this is the means of savior and safety in this life and in the hereafter. This is the means that Allah Azza wa Jalla has made and set up for the way to His mercy and to His pleasure and to His paradise. To know Him. By His proofs and signs in His legislation and in His creation, to know His Prophet and to follow Him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to know the religion that is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jalla and that He accepts and that He does not accept any other religion besides that. Yani al-Islam, al-Islam, al-adhi jaa bihi nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa kana alayhi ashabuhu radiyallahu anhum jami'an. The Islam that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with and that his companions were upon. This is the Islam that is good. And these are the thalathatul usul. It has been narrated in Sahih Muslim from the hadith of Al-Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib radiyallahu anhu that he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, ذَاقَ طَعْمَ الْإِيمَانِ مَنْ رَضِيَ بِاللَّهِ رَبًّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ رَسُولًا. That the one who is pleased with Allah as his Lord and with Islam as his deen, and with Muhammad as his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he will taste the sweetness of al-Iman. These are the al-usul al-thalatha. These are al-usul al-thalatha. To know Allah Azza wa Jalla, to be pleased with Him as the Lord. to be pleased with His rububiyyah and His lordship and His dominion and His authority and His command and His commandments and His prohibitions, to be pleased with His decree, what He has decreed legislatively and what He has decreed subhanahu wa ta'ala universally, from the painful calamities that occur, likewise from the trials and tests in this life. To be pleased with Allah as one's Lord means to be pleased with Him and His decree. أَرِضَى بِالشَّيْءِ الْاِكْتِفَاءُ بِهِ وَالْاِقْتِنَاعُ الْقَنَاعَةِ, that the one who is pleased with something, he suffices with that and he's satisfied. He doesn't look for another. He suffices with that. That's what it means to be pleased with Allah as the Lord. He's pleased with His decree. He's pleased with His command. Whatever He commands, whether it's from the blessings of the goodness of this life or whether it's from the trials and the calamities of this life, the one who's pleased with Allah as his Lord, then he submits to Him. And he knows that whatever He has decreed is good. This is the one that would taste the sweetness of Iman. Likewise, whenever he's pleased with Islam as his deen, he doesn't seek to follow another deen, another way. He's pleased with Islam, the rulings of Islam, that which is permissible in Islam, he's pleased with that, suffices with it. He's content. He doesn't have to go beyond the boundaries to find satisfaction. Beyond the boundaries of Islam to find satisfaction, to find pleasure, to be happy in life. If he suffices with what Allah has legislated and allowed for him from the halal and the mubah. And he doesn't go seeking beyond that, because he's pleased with Islam as his religion. Likewise, he's pleased with the Prophet as his prophet. And he follows him. He follows him and takes him as a role model. He doesn't need any other role models. He doesn't need anybody else's way. Anybody's way that is not upon his way or is contrary to the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he doesn't need that. He doesn't need that. He doesn't want that. Rather, he suffices and he's pleased, he's satisfied and content with the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in all affairs. In the affairs of worship, first and foremost, likewise in the affairs of buying and trading, in the affairs of manners and conduct, and the affairs of what he eats and what and how he eats and how he sleeps and how he drinks, with the affairs on how he eats, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with complete guidance. How he wears his hair and how he wears his clothing, he's pleased. He's pleased with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a messenger and role model and example to follow. He doesn't look beyond his sunnah. He doesn't look beyond his sunnah and beyond his way. He suffices with that. This is the one that tastes the sweetness of Iman. He fulfilled al-usul al-thalatha. He learned al-usul al-thalatha, the three fundamental principles. Knowing his Lord and knowing his Prophet and knowing the deen that's pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. In this manner he would taste the sweetness of Iman. And this is whenever the heart will become upright, whenever these usul are steadfast and firm, deeply rooted in the heart of a believer. And just as at this time he will be able to taste the sweetness of Iman, meaning that Iman, it has a taste. Al-Iman, it has a taste and it has a sweetness in the heart of a believer. Those who have tasted it have tasted it and they know. Those who have complied and submitted and they have bowed down to the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal in compliance to Him, they have tasted the sweetness. They are pleased with Allah as their Lord. They tasted the sweetness of Iman. And with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as their messenger and Islam as their deen and way of life, they tasted the sweetness of Iman. And this is whenever the heart it is sound. هَذَهُ الْقَلْبُ السَّلِيمُ. This is the sound heart, the correct heart, the good heart that is full of Iman and yaqeen and certainty. And from understanding these usul, how do these usul become firmly rooted in the heart? By knowing them with their evidences and with their proofs. By knowing them with their evidences and with their proofs, until there's proof, he sees proof after proof after proof. My Lord is Allah, my Creator is Allah, my Sustainer is Allah. Allah has a perfect life, He needs no food and no help. He created all things, He's worthy of worship. He sees the signs over and over in His legislation, in His book. He sees the signs over and over in His creation, in His self, and in the creation of the heavens and the earth, until it's deeply rooted in his heart, and he has certainty. Allah is my Rabb. Allah is my Rabb. He looks into likewise the legislation, into the biography of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He sees the signs and the proofs over and over and over, learning them and learning the narrations, learning the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, learning how he dealt with his enemies, learning about his biography and his life before prophethood and after prophethood in Mecca and in Medina, and how he conquered the people. In the end, he was given victory sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and how he dealt with his enemies even then sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One will come to the conclusion with certainty, anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, that the Prophet, he is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that's why it's very important, as the author mentioned, the title of this text, ثَلَاثَةُ أُصُولٍ وَأَدِلَّتُهَا وَأَدِلَّتُهَا, because the usul, they have to be deeply rooted, and they will become deeply rooted by the permission of Allah with evidence and with proof. With evidence and with proof in the heart of a believer, then the foundations, they become deeply rooted and solid, and they become beneficial. Likewise, the religion of Al-Islam is the same way. So these usul, they have to be deeply rooted, and then the believer, he will taste the sweetness of iman, and he will not trade that iman for anything. And he will not trade that iman for anything. Rather, he would prefer to be thrown in the fire than to leave the iman, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had mentioned about the one who tasted the sweetness of iman and the sweetness of faith. On the contrary, if the heart becomes corrupt, then just like the tongue, it tastes the sweetness of food. But if the body becomes sick, the food, he can't taste its sweetness and the taste of the food. Even maybe he will eat something that's very sweet, but because of a disease or a sickness or an ailment in his body, he will taste the sweet food to be bitter. The food may taste bitter, or he will not like it because of a sickness in his body. Likewise, if the heart becomes sick, it will not be able to taste the sweetness of iman. If the heart becomes sick and he doesn't know these usul, they're not firmly rooted, or they're not followed up by action until they are made established firm in the heart, then likewise the heart will not be able to taste the sweetness of al-iman, the sweetness of al-iman. Nobody likewise will enter the paradise except for with these usul. It was been narrated likewise in Sahih Muslim that Abi Sa'id radiallahu anhu, he was with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he told him, he said, Ya Abi Sa'id, من رضي بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد النبي وجبت له الجنة. الله أكبر. وجبت له الجنة. He told him, he told Abu Sa'id, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, he said, O Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu, that whoever is pleased with Allah as his Lord and with Islam as his deen, and as Muhammad as his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Jannah will become obligatory for him. Jannah, this necessitates for him Jannah. It's no doubt for him. The one who's pleased with Allah as his Lord. He's pleased with the Lordship and the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his command. He's pleased with the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his sunnah, following his commandments and staying away from his prohibitions. Sufficed and content with Islam as his way of life. Not imitating the enemies of Islam, not in his speech or in his conduct, not in his dress or in his manners. Rather, he has the manners of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He suffices with Islam as his way. He suffices with Islam as his way. This is the one that wajibat lahu al-jannah. Paradise will be obligatory for him, and it's necessary. This is the means to enter paradise, to know Allah azza wa jal, the first asl, and to know his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the second asl. And to know the religion of Islam, all of this with evidences, with proofs. So again, this is just an indication. This has come, these usul are mentioned in Sahih Muslim. These usul are mentioned that they're the means to enter paradise. These usul are mentioned that there are the means to have the sweetness of iman. The completeness and the perfection of iman is by way of understanding al-usul al-thalatha. By way of understanding al-usul al-thalatha. Al-usul al-thalatha. The three fundamental principles. So then a believer, he will strive to learn them. Likewise, it's come with regards to the adhan, that it's mentioned in the time of the adhan to mention these usul. رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّهُ وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينَ بِمُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ نَبِيًّا. And likewise, this has come with regards to the adhkar al-sabah, that one would mention these usul. That when one would mention al-usul al-thalatha in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينَ وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. This has come in the text. Likewise, what has come in the text is that which is found in al-hadith al-bara'ah, Ibn Azib radiallahu anhu, that whenever a person dies, that the angels will come to him in his grave, and they will set him up, and they will ask him, يَأْتِيهِ مَلَكَانِ فَيُجْرِسَانِهِ وَيَسَلَانِ, that two angels will come to him, and they will ask him the questions, three questions, who is your Lord, and who is your Prophet, and what is your religion, and what is your religion? The believer, he will be given success, and he will be able to answer these questions. As for the disbeliever and the wicked, or the one who just blind following the people saying what they said, then he will say, la adri. سَمِعْتُ النَّاسَ يَقُولُونَ شَيْئًا فَقُلْتُهُ, I heard the people saying something, so I said it. So likewise, this indication that هَذِهِ الْأُصُولُ الْأُصُولُ الثَّلَاثَةَ لَا يَنْفَعْ فِيهَا التَّقْلِيدُ, that it's not permissible with regards to these affairs of creed and aqidah, these fundamental issues here in the deen, it's not permissible to blind follow, just to say what the people said. My grandpa said it, and my dad said it, and that's the case. La ilaha illallah. He has no clue what it means. He has no clue what it means. Muhammad al-Rasulullah, he doesn't even know him. And it's apparent in his conduct, and his speech, and his actions. It's not going to be beneficial if it's based upon blind following. It has to be known. It has to be understood. There has to be belief in the heart. There has to be belief in the heart. And these usul are very, 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 very important. Very, very, very important. Rather, they are the deen. They are the deen. The one who doesn't know Allah Azza wa Jalla, how can he worship Him? The one who doesn't know the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how can he worship Allah? The one who doesn't know the deen of Islam, how can he follow the straight path? How can he get to paradise if he doesn't know Allah Azza wa Jalla and His Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if he doesn't know the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla with evidence and proofs? It's not possible. It's not possible. The means that Allah has set to His pleasure and to His mercy is Sirat al-Mustaqim. And this means that they have knowledge. Knowledge of Allah and knowledge of His Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and knowledge of that deen, deen al-Islam. Deen al-Islam. So then the religion is based upon these principles here. The religion of al-Islam that the Prophet ﷺ came with is based upon these principles right here, these foundations. This is the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. If a person wants to learn his religion, then let him memorize and learn al-usul al-thalatha. Let him memorize and learn al-usul al-thalatha. And this is a very good beginning. And the best way to start, memorizing al-usul al-thalatha, this text right here, along with the evidences, and understanding it, this is something that I encourage all of those listening to take it sincerely and to take it seriously. To take it seriously. This text here, I want to learn it. This text here, I want to learn it. This text here, I want to memorize it. If I know Arabic, I'll memorize it in Arabic. If I know how to read Arabic, but I don't know it 100%, then I learn how to say it in Arabic and learn along with the meaning in English. If I don't know Arabic at all, I will do my best to at least memorize the meanings in English so that I know it. So that I know it. That I know what these issues are. I'm familiar with them. I'm familiar with them. Going over knowledge is two types. مرور الإلمام والمرور الإتقان. يعني المرور على العلم. Going over knowledge is two types. Just to go over it and become familiar with it, that's one thing. The next thing after that is to go over it and to memorize it precisely. So it's incumbent for all of the Muslims to go over this type of knowledge, to go over and to be familiar with it and to know it. And even more highly encouraging for the students of knowledge that they would master it, they would learn it word for word, that they would learn it word for word. But at least a believer, he will read it over and over and over until he is familiar with it. He's familiar with it. He's familiar. Maybe he didn't memorize it like a photographic memory, but he memorized these issues and he knows them. He knows al-usul al-thalatha. Somebody said to you, what's Usul al-Thalatha? What are the Usul al-Thalatha? As-salat wa zakat wa... Al-Usul al-Thalatha, what are they? And your deen al-Islam. To know Allah and to know His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to know the religion. This is Usul al-Thalatha. To know them in detail, to have a strong understanding. The one who learns the text like this, he can be a caller. And he can call to this. And he'll be able to benefit those people, his family members. He'll be able to benefit the people at his work. If they ask him about Islam, he can tell them directly, oh, I know Islam. Islam is the Usul al-Thalatha. I memorized that. They ask him, what about this? They ask him about the Salah. You remember the verse, there's a proof here for Salah. Yeah, Salah is this and this and this and this. And then he'll talking about, what is Shahada? Oh, the Shahada. What does a believer believe? We believe this. Shahada in la ilaha illallah. What's that mean? Halana abudu bihaqan illallah. And he mentioned there's proofs for that in the Quran, and you'll be able to inform the people about the deen that you believe in. The deen that you believe in and that you follow. Many people, if you ask them, or somebody asks them about Islam, they don't know. They don't know what to say or where to start. Here the author, he's summarizing it right here. You start here with the Al-Usul al-Thalatha. One time we said with the Shaykh Abdurrahman Muhyiddin, Hafidhullah Ta'ala, the Mufti of the Masjid al-Nabawi, Hafidhullah Ta'ala, he told us, if you memorize Usul al-Thalatha, and you go back to America and teach that, they'll think that you're Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. And because of how strong Al-Usul al-Thalatha are. And likewise because of how ignorant the Ummah has become. But you need the encouragement to learn these Usul, to learn them and to understand them and to apply them. The religion of Allah Azza wa Jalla, it stands upon Usul, it stands upon foundations. It has fundamentals that the deen cannot be established except by way of them. If the fundamentals are not present, then the deen is not there. The deen is not there. Or if they're weak, then the person's deen will be leaning or falling. That just as the way that a structure, it has fundamentals, the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla, it has fundamentals. Just as a building, it has pillars, the religion of Allah and foundation, the religion of Allah has pillars and foundation that it stands upon, that's based upon. Buniya al-Islamu ala khams. Likewise, just as a tree, it stands upon a foundation, likewise, the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla, it stands upon a foundation. It stands upon a foundation. Can a tree stand without a stump or without a root? Without a trunk, without a foundation? What happened to the tree, to the limbs? Can the limbs be there if there's no foundation? What happens? It can't even exist. The foundation is first. The foundation is first. What about if there's a foundation but it's very weak? Huh? It might easily fall over. It might look good and somebody lean on it like this and it just falls right over. It just might fall right over. Right? That's because why? That doesn't have a strong foundation. Likewise, somebody might build a house. The house might look real nice on the outside, but if they didn't make the foundation strong, what will happen? It will collapse on them. It might even hurt somebody inside. Somebody, for example, he wants to build a house and then he has only a certain amount of money. He's like, you know what, I'm going to make the walls and the windows and the floor real nice and the roof, everything real nice. So I'll just kind of be cheap a little bit on the foundation. I only got a certain amount of money. If I put the foundation really good and strong, then I can't have the good carpet and I can't have the good windows. I can't have the good ceiling. Right? So he preferred to have real nice interior and exterior, and he was cheap with the foundation. What might happen? In the end, that maybe it's not going to hold up for him. Maybe it's not whenever the rain comes and the sleet comes and the snow comes and the wind comes and the difficulties come of life. This day is hot, next day is cold. The house, maybe it looks good today, tomorrow it might fall down on them. It might collapse because the foundation is weak. Because the foundation is weak. Likewise, the tree that is not deeply rooted, then maybe today it looks beautiful and is growing. But whenever the wind comes or the storm comes and the lights like this, it might become uprooted very easily. Very easily. You will not be able to bear the weather. To bear the weather. Like this, the deen of a person, the al-Islam in the heart of a believer, al-Iman in the heart of a believer, if it's strong, if it has a strong foundation, he will be able to weather the storm, the trials of life. There's shubuhat and there's shahawat and there's doubts and that people are throwing left and right, and there's desires and whims, opportunities to disobey Allah Azza wa Jalla left and right, with wealth, with and money and earnings, likewise with regards to the children, and likewise with regards to the eyes, and in every case, going outside the door, opportunity left and right to disobey any trials. If the iman is very weak in the heart, the person, he might fall into that, head over heels, as they say, into misguidance, into deviation. But the one who has a strong iman, then that will prohibit him from that. That will prohibit him from that, from falling into the desires and into the whims, likewise into the misguidance. There's a verse in the Book of Allah Azza wa Jalla that indicates this. Who can remember that verse? Who knows the verse? The verse that indicates the iman in the heart of the believer, like a tree.
Surah Al-Bayn.
سورة إبراهيم. الله أكبر. ألم ترى كيف ضرب الله مثلا؟ Do you not see how Allah عز وجل has struck an example? Example of what? Example of لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله in the heart of a believer. ألم ترى كيف ضرب الله مثلا كلمة طيبة كشجرة طيبة أصلها ثابت وفرعها في السماء. Have you not seen how Allah has struck an example of a good word? The good word is, the ulama they mentioned, La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. This word is not accepted except with its qarina, Muhammad Rasulullah. Naam? La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Lam tara kayfa daraba Allahu mathalan kalimatan tayyibatan kashajaratin tayyibah. Just this, the example is this good word. This good word is that of a good tree. أصلها ثابت وفرعها في السماء. That its foundation is firm, and its roots are, and its branches are in the, are in the air. تؤتي أكلها كل حين بإذن ربها. It's giving its fruits at all times by the permission of its Lord. This is the example of that statement, لا إله إلا الله, like a tree. It's like a tree. Just as a tree, it does not stand except on its asl, except on its root. Likewise, at iman. بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسوله واليوم الآخر والقدر خيره وشره. Also does not stand in the heart of a believer except upon usul. Usul. There's usul for each and every one of these. There's usul for each and every one of these. So the example here of the good word, the word that this good word is, it's firm and solid in the heart of the believer, is like the good tree. The good tree. أصلها ثابت. أصلها ثابت. This tree, its root is firm. Its root is firm. So whenever the root is firm, what happens to the branches? وَفَرْعُهَا فِي السَّمَاءِ. The branches are high up in the air. تُؤْتِي أُكُلَهَا كُلَّ حِينٍ بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهَا. It's been mentioned by Abdullah bin Mas'ud رضي الله عنه that this is a نَخْلَة. That this is a نَخْلَة. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he made the example of الرجل المؤمن, الرجل المسلم, the believing man, like a نَخْلَة. Like a نَخْلَة. Like a date palm. It's been mentioned that the date palm, everything about it is beneficial. They benefit from the bark and from the leaves. They benefit from every part of the date tree. It's beneficial. Every part of it, like this. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made the example of a believer like this. And this is the example of that tree in the heart and of the iman in the heart of a believer. That whenever it's firm, it gives the fruits, yani left and right. Left and right. And then he said, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَثْلُ كَلِمَةٍ خَبِيثَةٍ كشجرة خبيثة اجتثت من فوق الأرض ما لها من قرار. And the example of a foul word, any disbelief and disobedience, الكفر والمعصية, the ulama they mentioned, the foul word, and the foul word with the tongue and likewise with the heart. The speech of the heart is the disbelief and the actions of disobedience and the likes like this. This is the example of the bad word, اجتثت من فوق الأرض, that it be stripped from the earth. ما لها من قرار. It's not stable. It doesn't last. It doesn't last. Like this, disbelief, it doesn't last. It doesn't have, it's not firmly rooted. It will not last. Like that, also disobedience, it doesn't last. It doesn't last. That it's very dangerous. That it can be, the person can be blown away. His iman can be removed. And the tree of iman in his heart can fall over and go away. It can become weak. And it can even be removed. But the one that is firm in his heart, then this is the one that produces fruits left and right. The fruit of iman and yaqeen, certainty, and the fruit of good speech and righteous actions and beautiful manners and the likes like this. After Allah mentioned this example of the good word and the bad word, he said, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. That Allah will make firm those people who believe, those who believe with a firm speech, the firm statement in this life and in the hereafter. In this life and the hereafter. Allah will make them firm with what? With that statement, with La ilaha illallah. Where is it at? It's on their tongue. They pronounce it with their tongue, and it's in their heart, firm, established. Firm, established until it produces the fruits. Al-Imam Asidi, he mentioned about this here, that Allah, he makes firm those who believe with this, with the firm statement in this life and in the hereafter. He said, يُخْبِرُ تَعَالَى أَنَّهُ يُثَبِّتُ عِبَادُهُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. That Allah is informing here that he makes his believing servants firm. أي الذين قاموا بما عليهم من الإيمان القلبي التام الذي يستلزم أعمال الجوارح ويثمرها. He said, and those who believe, meaning those who have complete faith in their hearts, the type of faith that produces the beautiful actions, the good actions, on the body parts. And he says, فَيُثَبِّتُهُمْ اللَّهُ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا عِنْدَ وُرُودِ الشُّبُهَاتِ بِالْهِدَايَةِ إِلَى الْيَقِينِ. That he makes them firm in this life. Allah makes the believers firm in this life. Whenever shubuhats come and doubts come and misunderstanding and misguidance and deviation or innovation comes in the religion, he makes them firm by guiding them with certainty. By guiding them with certainty. How does that come? With knowledge. Al-hidayah. And if this is how the firmness in this life, bil-hidayah ila al-yaqeen, bil-hidayati ila al-yaqeen. Hadha wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.